Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. It's a great pleasure to be talking with you today. I've often wondered how come it is that so many of us have difficulty sleeping. Some say it's hormonal. Some say it's a certain time of life where your sleep habits and your sleep ability changes. But the science is telling us that radio frequency is the real reason people don't sleep anymore. And many people around the earth are telling us this. But Earth Pulse has come to us today offering biomagnetic supplementation and really says the genie's out of the bottle. There's something that we can do that can help our sleep, and there's knowledge that we need to understand about radio frequency and what's happening in the world that's interfering with our delta waves, and the delta waves are key to sleeping and rejuvenation and regeneration of the body. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Paul Becker to It's Rainmaking Time, the founder of the Earth Pulse Magnetic Supplementation Device. Welcome to It's Rainmaking Time.
Kim Greenhouse, thank you for having me.
Talk to us about what happens in the delta wave of sleep. Why is it so critical? What do we need to know about it? Let's go to the brass tacks of what this is for the public.
Well, the reason we need delta sleep is because when you reach delta stage sleep, your heart rate, your brain frequency, your respiration is very low. And the energy consumption by the body is in a linear fashion very low. Your body produces ATP 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when we're in delta stage sleep, the energy being created while we're sleeping, besides that's needed to sustain the body in that state, is put to use toward hormone production, memory consolidation, and daily wear and tear repair.
Do we all go into delta? Do we have optimal delta? And how do we know if we do or we don't?
Well, according to the textbooks, we're supposed to be in delta stage sleep minimum of 2 hours a night, which when you break it up between the different stages of sleep on an eight-hour schedule, that's probably about right, 2 to 4 hours. 4 hours would be better than two, because during those extra 2 hours, your body's not fidgeting, your brain's not racing, burning up energy, and so there's more energy available to the cells, the various cells in the body, whether it's your knee joint cartilage or whether it's your heart or your brain tissue or your endocrine tissue. That's a big one as well, the endocrine tissue.
A lot of people are told, just go take melatonin or tryptophan. For many people, it helps. For some people, it doesn't. What is your device about? How did you create it? How does it work? And why is it relevant to us?
Well, you know, I kind of stumbled onto the sleep thing. I developed this pulsed electromagnetic device back in 2000-2001, specifically to combat neurological issues. My dad had been diagnosed with quick onset Alzheimer's. It was progressing rather quickly. He then was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And I had used the cell phone a lot during the years between 97 and 2000. And by 2000, I was really off my game neurologically. You know, I do a lot of fishing at night, standing on a dock or walking along the edge of a dock. I'd get the weebles, my timing. Surfing was horrible. I didn't enjoy surfing anymore besides having a really bad ruined shoulder. My performance in the water was really bad. I almost rear-ended a couple of cars with my foot on the brake because I misjudged the closing speed. So at the time, I was using the ocean as a flotation tank, and I found that very, very relaxing. And I started to do some investigation into what was going on, and at the time I was working in microcurrent stimulation and decided that this would probably be something that could help me, as well as people that were in my dad's case where their neurological system was failing, because there seemed to be evidence by these two researchers, Sandyke and Ananos. Actually, Ananos predated Sandyke. They worked together for a time using similar frequency, pulsed and pulsed electromagnetics to the brain tissue for epilepsy, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's, and getting exceptionally good results. I was looking for something that was going to clear my EMF fog, as well as for something that could help people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease regain some of their mental function, or at least slow down the progression of it.
What is EMF fog?
Electromagnetic field effects in the brain, where you just find your brain function, your decision-making process, all of your balance, your proprioception, and your feet. You just feel off. You don't feel tuned. You don't feel grounded. The very first time I turned the device on and was looking for just to lay down and expose my head to it, and I was expecting it to tune up my thought process, to be able to overshadow, get rid of all of the static that was built up in my between my, you know, in my nerve synapses that was obviously giving me some problem. And I woke up 4 hours later. And, you know, did one of those, didn't know what day it was, sat up and just kind of gathered my thoughts. The first time I put my feet on the floor, I felt like I had in martial arts class, you know, back when I was in my early 20s. And I realized that a miracle had just happened. I went out and I walked around my mom's pool like a tightrope on the lip of the pool. And with the other hand dialed this client that I'd had, this very first client that had Parkinson's disease that was waiting for the other prototype. And from that day forward, for 9.5 years, I've been on a progress of my body healing itself. My old sports injuries, you know, within 3 months, my bad shoulder, which I was on glucosamine chondroitin since 1987, we're now talking 2001, within 3 months, my shoulder mechanism stopped popping, clicking. I haven't dislocated my shoulder since, I don't know, 1999.
So what does this device do for anyone who uses it?
Okay. Well, first of all, it turns any type of EMF, radio frequency, electric frequencies coming from wall current. It overshadows all of that and turns that into background noise. I'd say harmless background noise, or at least unnoticeable background noise. You have to understand that we live in a soup of radio frequency. It's information carrying, it's pulsed, it's coming from all different directions at the same time. And we live in this. And it's tuning us higher. You know, they talk about the Schumann wave, the main Schumann wave changing.
You're at a very high echelon of understanding of this. We need to bring you down to where we are so that we understand what you're talking about. What is the Schumann wave?
There are electromagnetic fields that we have evolved in for eons that are standing resonations within the cavity of between the ground and the upper ionosphere. Much like radio waves bounce off the ionosphere and go around the planet, AM radio.
Right.
These waves have been set up by nature over eons. And the Schumann wave, everyone knows it's 7.8 or 7.83, is one of the peaks in a broad spectrum of standing waves that we have evolved in. And then man comes along and he throws in 60 hertz alternating current, which creates a spike at 60 hertz, which just that alone causes these Schumann waves to be background noise to the 60 hertz, or 50 if you're in Europe. Once you add the radio frequency in on top of that, to all the cell phones and wireless networks and everything that's surrounding us, we've created a space, a living space, at least urban-wise, that has no more, that people are not being tuned by these naturally occurring frequencies. We're now being tuned by radio broadcast.
And what does that mean? What does that
mean
now?
You lay down at night and you try and quiet your mind, the stress you're feeling, although a lot of it's due to financial problems and geopolitical problems and whatever else you got going on in your life, on top of that, you're still laying in bed being tuned away from sleep. We handled the electrical current in the walls fairly well. Then we added the wireless home telephone networks, which are broadcasting all night, many people having them on their side table next to their bed. And now we've got cellular masts everywhere, even parked on rooftops of domestic homes, apartment buildings, and you can't escape it. So what the Earth Pulse does is create a low frequency, ultra-low frequency, delta range frequency, and it's like laying in a cocoon because your body is tuned to that rhythm coming from underneath your mattress, much like you have two stereos in the house and they're on an equal volume. It depends where you are, closer or further away, which radio you hear until you get to a point where all you hear is the one that's close to you. And that's the analogy with how the Earth Pulse creates a frequency pulse that your body locks into, your neurological system's most sensitive antenna in the world, and it drags your rhythm, brain rhythm, your consciousness, down toward a delta stage.
Does that mean that we might be able to stay in delta longer, or that delta function is more optimized? Am I asking the right questions?
Yeah, I mean, basically you are, sure. I have survived since 2001 with the promise of better sleep and a 90-day money-back guarantee. The device for probably 8 out of 10 people works right out of the box. Another 15% of the people, we do a little bit of fine-tuning in terms of magnet placement and such. If you're very sensitive to things, you might even have it on the floor under the bed. You know, and this will handle two people in just about any side bed unless you sleep on opposite sides.
There are magnetic beds in different parts of the world that are being made. How is this device distinct from the magnetic beds that are out in the marketplace today?
Well, those are all static magnets, and a static magnet doesn't project far from itself. Even large ones, the larger they are, the more the field extends out. But, you know, you get to you get into a situation where you're dealing with unruly sized magnets, and to get a field that you actually can lay in, not on, because say the Japanese style with all the small little 1,000 Gauss magnets spread on it. When you lay on that, the penetration is only an inch at best. You can test it with a cheap compass. You take one of those small magnets and you hold it, you move the compass toward it. It doesn't affect the compass until you get very close to it. It won't pull the needle off of true north. Where with my device, you can be 3 feet away, 18 inches away from it, and you can start seeing the flutter, the frequency that the output is, the little red light blinking. You can see the compass needle start to react to it. So what's happening is when you pulse a magnetic wave, if it's a pure pulse, not a sine wave, when you pulse it, it extends into infinity. Of course, you can't measure it way out there, but it does. It creates a pressure wave, but it's a magnetic pulse. And it just so happens that the body's power generation system, the mitochondria, seem to react very well to the frequencies that make us sleep. So when you're laying on a magnetic pad type of thing, static, you've got a field effect where you're laying on top of this North Pole field, and then you're relying on a chain reaction within the cells from cell to cell to cell to cell to react. when you lay on my device and turn it on, it's going through your mattress, through your body, and out the other side.
Would I feel it?
No.
Okay.
But you do get sensations. Sensation of it's actually been termed the sighing response by Reuven Sandike, that developed the Parkinson's aspect of pulse magnetic fields. And where you just take a deep breath and you just, it's called sighing response. It's like he noticed when he turned the machine on that his patients would sigh, you know, at least 80% of them. So you get sensations like that. Or for me, when I first started using the device, I would feel my stomach gurgle. I almost felt like my intestines were reshaping themselves.
Do you plug it into the wall, or it's just a standalone thing you put under your bed? Does it plug into anything?
It plugs in the wall with a little cell phone-looking charger thing, and it's DC from the wall outlet on, so it doesn't add any other electric fields to your room. The controller sits on your side table, and the magnet goes underneath your mattress, whatever your mattress is made of. I mean, you can fit it in a Sleep Number bed. It's a little bit more of a hassle than any other type of mattress, but it'll work with anything, and particularly well with water beds, something to do with the water.
I noticed that Robert O. Becker, M.D., really enjoyed your device. I wish he was with us to be on this call today. He was the author of The Body Electric, the groundbreaking book about how the body is, in fact, an electrical apparatus.
We're one giant battery, basically, self-regenerating. Bob and I, we had three meetings in the time that I was getting to know him. He was a thoroughly enjoyable old man, very, very disappointed that the world didn't pick up with his research.
Although a lot of doctors and holistic healthcare practitioners, dentists, really did read his book, and I think that book was the groundbreaking book for alternative medicine or vibrational medicine, really, in the world.
Yeah, the other book he did, I believe it predated that, was called Electromagnetism and Life, and that was written with Andrew Marino, one of Becker's students. And that, I believe I've got that linked off of my research page, the entire book. It takes a little while to load, but you can read it in a PDF file off of the research section.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Paul Becker, the founder of Earth Pulse. He has created a biomagnetic device to help us sleep better. It's called the Sleep on Command Pulsed Electromagnetic Sleeping Machine. And I was wondering if you could share with the audiences different scenarios where people have used this machine. Like, do you have any athletes you can talk about, or anybody who had insomnia? You may not be able to use their names, but at least you can share with us some different scenarios.
Well, sure. I mean, I've got some world record athletes. I've got some UFC fighters, one belt holder. The range goes from chess players to golfers and power lifters. You know, the device, because of its effect on the energetic quality of the cell and the recovery, short term as well as long term, we see strength effects that really truly rival steroids. One power lifter who went from training with 350, and this is a guy that set his personal record at 600 pounds in the bench press, but he used to train with 350 hanging from anchor chain from the ceiling. So as he extended the bar out, it added weight to the bar. So he went from training at 350 to 60 days later training at 450 for the same amount of reps. And that's kind of routine. You see it. We see a 20% bump a 10-20% bump in peak strength. But stamina is where the device really just is amazing. I mean, within a week or two, if you train at all and you go for your high rep burnout sets, you'll stack on 20% in a week or two, and another 20% probably the first month to month and a half. And it has nothing to do with conditioning. I mean, this is just, boom, it's there. Of course, then from that point forward, you know, conditioning has some effect, but still, I mean, the hugest increases in strength and stamina outside of banned substances, for sure.
Now, I know that people that come up with devices or supplements and solutions in the area of health and wellness are not allowed to say it fixed this or it took care of that or it eliminated this. What can you say? How far is the boundary of what you can say in terms of what this device has contributed to well-being?
Well, if you sleep better, I mean, sleep is the best therapy on the planet.
What about people that don't have a problem sleeping? Could they use this too?
This improves the process. Even if you think you sleep good, you've never experienced anything like this. I mean, I used to consider that I slept well, notwithstanding the shoulder, that every time I moved during the night, it would wake me up. So, you know, that issue disappeared. But at the time, I went from waking up 3 or 4 times a night to waking up in the same spot in the morning.
Can I travel with this, let's say, if I want to take this to Europe with me?
Absolutely. I mean, it's 2 pounds, and it comes with a little padded carrying case. You just zip the thing up, throw it in your carry-on, because, you know, when you lose luggage, especially when you go travel time zones, when you get someplace and your luggage didn't and that device is in your luggage, I've experienced it's no fun. So, yeah, it goes right in your carry-on, no questions asked. They look at it just like any other little electrical thing. It looks very cohesive in its little pet carrying case, and there's never been a problem.
That's great.
That I've heard from anyone. And I travel a lot, I would know. It's 110-220 also, by the way, so you don't have to monkey around with adapters and such, just the pin adapter, and we ship it with a pin adapter for your country, or whatever country you request. If you're a U.S. customer and you go to South America and that takes a particular type of cord, that's what we'll ship you.
That's great. Talk about a very complex subject that I think is important, and we'll probably end up doing a whole show on this with a few guests on. What is entrainment, and why is entrainment relevant to everything electromagnetic and what you're making available?
Well, see, but the basics of entrainment is how the device traps and gets your brain signal to start to pace the device. It's a well-established process. It's the same reason that radio frequencies tune you up. You know, you got to keep in mind that a lot of radio frequency is pulsed, and they pulse them at frequencies that are biologically active. Some of them are 8, some of them are 10, some of them are 20. But you've got them coming from all different directions at approximately the same field strength. So you're getting pulsed with, you know, 10 plus 10 times, you know, 10 different sending masts in a particular vicinity overlaying each other. So you've got this very high rhythm going on. And your neurological system is going to try and pace those signals. So when you look around yourself sitting in traffic at all the people that are all tensed and freaked out of their mind, you know, it's because we're being unknowingly tuned to very high states of anxiety, so that even if you're a healthy person, these days, in the last decade and a half to 2 decades, we've become much higher anxiety. Tuna Mel Brooks phrase. It can be mechanical, like two metronomes, old-style metronomes, swinging out of sync. The story goes over days or hours, they will align and start swinging in rhythm. Or two clock pendulums out of sync, that eventually they will start swinging in rhythm. So our neurological system has what's called, and this was termed by Anthony Marino, and I believe Dr. Becker, but certainly I believe it was Andrew Marino, for sure, in this one study, the frequency-following response of the neurological system. What you feed into it, it will try and pace.
Wow. Okay, talk to us about NASA's research. And how NASA's research either complements or integrates with what you're doing.
Well, if we're going to talk about NASA, we need to talk about David Hood and James Tong that have done research. James Hood goes back almost two decades. He's a specialist in the mitochondria. And for whatever reason, David Hood's been using 10 hertz in a lot of his studies. He's basically stumbled onto some of the interesting qualities there. And when I was working in electric stim and microcurrent stim, I saw this trend at 10 hertz, where 10 hertz studies worked better than others. So along comes NASA in 2003, and they start testing. NASA Goodwin, I forget Goodwin's first name, but he did this study with using 10 hertz on neurological tissue in a two-dimensional and three-dimensional form. And what they found was that 10 hertz created four times the tissue regeneration than baseline. And I've always been trying. I've been trying to get this. I've got this black hole. There was this other component to that study. I'm relatively certain it was in the NASA study where they tested 5 hertz, 10 hertz, and 15. If it wasn't that study, it was another one, and I've been looking for it for a couple of years, and I cannot find it. But what they showed was at 10 hertz, you had four times tissue regeneration. At 5 hertz, you had double. At 15 hertz, you're back to double. So you had this perfect bell-shaped curve around 10 hertz for tissue regeneration. And if you take that and look at some of the other studies using, I just came across a study, 2 hertz. 2 hertz increased tissue regeneration by 27%. So if you were to look at the bell-shaped curve by the 5, 10, and 15 hertz study, the NASA study at 10 hertz, and this study using 2 hertz, because it's my understanding that 1 hertz has no effect on raising the mitochondrial efficiency or production of ATP, and that it starts to show up in a bell-shaped curve somewhere around 1.5 to 2 hertz. And then lo and behold, I find this study just a couple of days ago at 27% tissue regeneration, and I'm like, uh-huh, there we go, it's perfect. So at 10 hertz, NASA also looked at the genetic quality of the cell. And what they found was that in samples where the neurological tissue was mature, where the genetic signature was mature, and there was like 120 genes plus that deal with the maturity genes, those genes were switched off, and 120 genes plus that tell the cell it's developmental were switched on. But they never really got into why that was happening. Then 4 years later, 2007, James Tong publishes a study where he exposes cells to half a hertz, and he's measuring the mitochondrial density, and he's measuring the total energy at the nerve synapse junctions. And this study, at 10, as soon as he switches from, okay, half a hertz, he switches it on, the production goes down about 20%. Once he switched on 10 hertz, within a minute, you see the energy level come back to baseline. By 2 and 3 and 4 minutes into the exercise, it went up double in terms of density of mitochondria at the synapse and tripled the energy at the synapse. So synergistic effect going on there. You get twice as many mitochondria at the nerve synapse junction, and you've got but you've got three times the energy at the synapse junction. So if you take it all of those that research together and you look at why the cell genetic material was changing from maturation to developmental, the thing that seems to make the most sense is that the energy output and or the toxicity of the cell is changed to such a great extent that the cell is literally tricked into thinking it's a young developmental cell again due to the energy output and what's available there, which detoxification takes some energy.
That's fascinating.
You know, the longevity implications are staggering, because if you can take an old cell and turn it young again from a genetic standpoint, you know, how long is that sustainable? You know, I know at 52, I feel so much better than I did even at 25 in terms of aches and pains and energy level and being able to cope with, you know, my helter-skelter schedule.
Isn't the fact that we live in a world of frequencies, and whether we realize it, it's irrelevant, because it doesn't change the fact that we are living in and breathing in and transacting in and resting in frequencies. It's something we have to now deal with, now that we know that that's a fact.
Oh, would we? If you don't protect yourself, I mean, you got look at cancer rates. Yeah, cancer, you know, is caused by a lot of food additives and, you know, bad stuff in the water and air pollution and smoking and every other thing. But, I mean, when I grew up in New Jersey in the 70s, I mean, New Jersey was a pretty dirty place. But the cancer rate in New Jersey at the time was like 1 in 20 people in the 70s. Back in the 60s, when my dad got cancer, it was like 1 in 100 or 2 in 100. And now, the cancer rate in the United States is 1 in 3 men and 1 in 4 women. It can't all be due to the food. It can't all be due to slapping sunscreen on every summer. You know, we are, and there are plenty of studies out there. In fact, in the sleep report that you can download off my website, I've got some studies in there that show radio frequency causes chromosomal aberration, changes, DNA breaks, all of these things, black and white, and yet they still will tell you that it's safe to hold a cell phone to your head, that it's not going to cause cancer.
There's a lot of people who insist on sleeping with a cell phone in their room or a cell phone right by their sleeping area. What do you think about that?
I think it's horrible personal hygiene. You know, having it on the nightstand near your head, not a good idea. Earth pulse under your bed, on your nightstand near your head, not so bad of an idea. Without an earth pulse, be a lot better on the chest on the opposite side of the room. You know, if you have your wireless network in your bedroom, you should unplug it at night. In fact, as a courtesy to your upstairs and downstairs neighbors in an apartment, you should unplug the thing.
That's a very, very good idea. For people who live in apartments, listen to that. I don't know that you'll have cooperative neighbors, but maybe you will.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you move into a place. I just got into this flat here in Europe, and I know I can't sleep in the bedroom. Even with my earth pulse, I just cannot sleep in that bedroom. So, I don't know what's on the other wall, on the other side of the wall, excuse me, in the bedroom, but, you know, I feel when I lay in that bed that there's a wireless network right up against the other side of the wall.
What is a ley line?
No, you're outside of my sphere of knowledge now. It has to do with, you know, dowsing and things of that nature, but
okay.
That's a little bit outside.
But doesn't it also have to do with outside frequencies, electromagnetic interference, or some type of electrical interference?
I just read a study about dirty electricity, and
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, seemed pretty well put together. Dirty electricity actually disrupts the glucose. The glucose metabolism, and actually can give you diabetes. And I haven't gotten it linked yet, but it's kind of remarkable. See, just dirty wall current is enough to disrupt the the sugar metabolism of particular people. So, as far as having having a house over water lines or some magnetic vortex or something, I mean, there's so many possibilities.
I realize that Dr. Bob Del Montique is...
Del Montique, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Bob Del Montique is on your board of directors. He's the senior editor of Muscle and Fitness Magazine. And he's recently joined Earth Pulse, I guess, advisory board. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about him. I guess he is claiming that he's able to have a 40%, is it 40% or 20% increase in strength?
Yeah, that little clip in the website, I believe he was up like 15 or 20%. You've got to understand, Del Montique's 91 years old or just turned 90. So, I bumped into him at a trade show, one of the A4M trade shows in Las Vegas a few years back, and so he and I became quite close. His he's got some issues going on with his wife. His wife had a stroke a few years back, so he was stressed out at the time. So the Earth Pulse definitely helped him sleep. He couldn't he exhausted himself trying to get his wife, who had a stroke, to use the device. There was some strong resistance there. Neither he nor I could figure it out, but.
People are scared of it. I mean, some people are scared of things they don't know, knowledge they don't understand, and, people don't often think of using devices for preventative purposes.
Well, electromagnetic scares the hell out of people.
It scares me. electromagnetics scare me, the level of it. From the microwave stations that most people have no idea how close they're sitting to those stations and the power of them, to the flat-screen television sets we have, to the cell phones, to the wireless networks.
You can escape most of the biological effects from appliances and TVs and computers and all of that stuff. But you can't escape the radio frequency. Not unless you've got a Faraday cage or you've coated your windows, and they've got film that's RF shielding film. I mean, unless you build a Faraday cage in your house or your bedroom particularly, there's no way to escape it. There's just no way. And, if you can at least for 8 hours a day put yourself in a space that's friendly, that's conducive to sleep, that's conducive to charging your batteries, via these studies that show immediate effects at the mitochondrial level. There's, how can you be afraid of that? There's even research, with cancer. Very good paper. It's linked on my site. You can look it up on Google, Haltenwanger. And when they were going through cell lines and exposing them to different frequencies, guess which frequency they found was anti-cancer?
10 hertz?
10 hertz.
Does that mean that your device emits a 10 hertz frequency?
Well, okay, let me get one more step, because we didn't cover this. It's very important. Back to the Schumann waves.
Okay.
A lot of people that listen to the station, hopefully they know who Bob Beck is. Bob Beck, the electrical blood cleansing, and Bob Beck, the colloidal silver guy.
Talk about his contribution. I know of him, but I don't know how many of the listeners know.
Okay, all right, well... he saw a patent from out of New York City, I can't remember the name of the university, medical center, subjecting AIDS virus to microcurrent through minimally invasive means, putting electrodes into the vein and electrocuting it as it passed through the electrodes, and found that it killed the virus. And so Bob Beck came up with a very simple device that you put on your wrist over the artery and vein, taped it down so that it was running parallel to the vein in the artery, and as the blood goes through your hand, it would hit it with a 4 hertz pulse. Well, Bob Beck was very aware of frequency effects, and he chose 4 hertz because it was kind of delta range, and, I know him. He was probably wearing the thing to bed at night, as I did, eventually did. And it was conducive to sleep because it was at 4 hertz. Well, when Bob was a young man, and he published a paper in 1978, he drove stakes deep into the ground, looking to see if there was some resonation from the molten core of the planet. And he found one. 9.6 hertz. Very close to 10 hertz. And since I'd already been aware of this 10 hertz pattern, you know, back in 2000, when I was working with microcurrent stim, it seemed to all, that was, the light bulb went on. That's why the 10 hertz studies work as well as they did, because for whatever reason, our planet emits a 9.6 hertz beat frequency. Now, that's different than the Schumann waves that go around the planet. This radiates up.
From the planet core?
Correct.
Wow.
According to Bob Beck now. Okay? But when I saw that that was 9.6 hertz, and these researchers were monkeying around with frequencies in the 10 hertz, 20 hertz range and higher, and, you know, they do show effects, the higher frequency devices, but it's not something you want to expose yourself to for hours at a time, because it's going to tune you up. When I first came up with the Earth Pulse, I found the limit of where that tune-up should be, and I said this thing needs to be at the second Schumann wave, which is 14.1 hertz, and not above that. And come to find out years later that when you subject animals to 15 hertz chronically, they have negative behavioral effects. At 20 hertz, they start producing stress hormones. At 10 hertz, they were foraging for food, highly social, making babies.
Fascinating.
So we have this natural law that science doesn't give any regard to whatsoever, and that's we are designed to live in a very low-frequency environment, and that frequency is now gone. And if you don't protect yourself, you're going to end up not healthy.
Absolutely fascinating. You write on your site about doing these breath tests. They're called breath hold tests, or RBH tests. Explain to us what they are, why they're important, and why they're part of your protocol.
Okay, thank you for reminding me about the RBH. This is how we're able to show that the device is having an effect, the desired effect. And what the breath hold test does is it gives you a very objective way to track how well your mitochondria are converting oxygen into usable energy. In other words, if you hold your breath for 30 minutes, 30 seconds, that's not very good, but you hold your breath for 30 seconds, that means that your lung, deep lung full of air, after you've done a controlled breathing exercise for 15 or 30 seconds, and then you hold your breath for time, your body's burning all that oxygen in only 30 seconds. You get on the device. A week later, you test your breath hold again. So we do this baseline, and then we do it once a week for 4 weeks. And what we find, generally, is the increase in breath is about 20% by the end of the first week or two.
Wow.
By the end of the 90 days, most of my clients are between 25% and 50% higher, though I've seen it go up higher than that. Mine, and I don't do it often enough to consider practice because, I mean, the last time I did it was almost 2 years ago. Time before that was 18 months. So I only do it every so now and then. And I went from a minute and 20 at my best, sometimes minute 17, because I'm a surfer and that's one of the things you do. You just know how long you can hold your breath. And the first time I tried it, not thinking any effect of my device whatsoever, just how long can I hold my breath? And I held my breath for 2 minutes.
Wow.
I was sitting in the car waiting for somebody to come out, and I'm just sitting there killing time. I'm scratching my head going, 2 minutes, that's insane. So I let it go. About 8 months later, I did it again. I'm at 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And it's continued to rise, and like I say, I only do it a year or 18 months in between. The last time I did it was 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
What does that mean biologically in terms of a translation of our well-being?
Okay, I'm sorry. What's happening is your mitochondria, which is what burns the oxygen, this has nothing to do with the transport of the oxygen. is that the mitochondria are creating enough energy to support the body for that much longer of a period of time. So that if your breath hold goes up 20% and you didn't pass out, that means your breath was used 20% more efficiently to sustain yourself sitting in approximately the same position as the last time you did it, and under approximately the same conditions, where you deep breathe for about 15 seconds to a minute or whatever you choose to do as your routine. So what I tell clients is it's going to continue to rise for it could be a decade, and I don't know exactly why that is.
That's amazing. We did a show on breathing some months ago. This fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates me.
Yeah, well, you know, where was that girl, that lady Greer or something in Vegas? She used to have that, she had a losing weight with the breathing routine. She lived in Las Vegas. Her first name was Greer, and she was a 40-something or 50-something blonde on doing infomercials. And it was about how to lose weight.
Yeah. I do remember her. I actually bought that product, but I laughed so hard watching the video that I didn't take it seriously. But then I read Pam Grout's book on breathing. It was so amazing. It's called Jumpstart Your Metabolism, How to Lose Weight by Changing the Way You Breathe. And they have exercises in there. It's fabulous. But I think that the device that you're talking about, where you actually have a protocol to test how it's going in that arena, fascinating.
Mm-hmm. When I was first playing around with the concept of testing people, it was this one guy who's got a current, this is back on 2005, he is now a world record holder again. He'd been, and he was in a down slope, and he was like, look, if I can't pull it together this season, I'm out of racing for good. So he got one of my devices, that was in 2005, and he's still setting world records. And I said, look, do me how long do you hold your breath? And he goes, 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Knew exactly, right off the top of his head. I said, try it. You've been on the device for 2 months. See, you know, call me back. Call me back like 11:30 at night. He's like, I just held my breath for 3 minutes and 6 seconds.
Wow.
Now, this is a guy that's world class, had, you know, he's a swimmer. You figure those guys are as aerobically fit as you're going to get. And out of nowhere, his breath hold goes up 19%. So my next progression was, how far can you swim underwater? And he goes, I can swim the length of a 50-meter pool. I go, can you turn? He says, no, I'm passing out when I get to the wall. So I said, next time you're in the water, just give it a shot for giggles. Calls me back 10 o'clock that night, and he goes, I just swam 75 meters underwater. He goes, man, that's a 25% increase. I'm like, hey, I go, that's a 50%. Yeah, 25 meters on the 50 meters. Okay, so under load, whether it has to do with creating lactic acid or whatever, under load, the effect is even greater.
It's awesome.
You know, so, I mean, I've got these world-class athletes that the last thing they want is for their competitors to know that they're on my stuff.
Very exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking to Paul Becker, the founder of EarthPulseTechnologies.com. He is the creator of Sleep on Command, the most effective sleep performance enhancement and longevity tool ever developed. He is guaranteeing vastly improved sleep and enhanced physical and mental performance or your money back. He can be reached at area code 305-434-7061 and www.earthpulsetechnologies.com. Paul Becker, thank you for being with us. I hope when we do another show on electromagnetic radiation that you will join us as one of our guests. And thank you for joining us from the Ukraine today.
Thank you so much, Kim. I've enjoyed being here, and I look forward to doing a round robin with some of your friends.
Thank you so much.